पारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रये कपाणये ज्ञान मुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू भगवद्गीता भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर डिस्कसिंग द 11th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता एंड वी आर इन द सेक्शन इन विच अर्जुना इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द विराट रूप, द विश्व रूप, यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म। So first Krishna has given a brief preview of what is going to come, then Sanjaya has given a description of what is being revealed, and then now Arjuna is describing what he is seeing. So in the first verse Arjuna said that actually I am seeing the whole universe from the top to the bottom, and then in the next verse he's used the word Vishwarupa. He says actually I am seeing the form which is pervading, there is no beginning, no end, no middle, it's all pervading practically speaking, and that's the Vishwarupa. Now as he's looking around, he starts discerning something specific, and what he discerns he describes. Now let's look at it. Kiritinam gatinam chakrinam cha tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam pashyami tvam durniriksham samantat deeptanalarkadyutim aprameyam. So kiritinam, kirit is helmet. So, it can refer to crowns. So, this universal form is well adorned. Gadinam, gada is maces, chakrinam. Chakrinam is chakra. So, this gada and chakra can be used to, can be taken as a reference to Vishnu. So, he's seeing the form of Vishnu over there also. But there are so many other things also he's seeing, which he'll describe in the successive verses. Tejo rashim, it's having a effulgence. What is the nature of the effulgence? Sarvato deeptimantam, all directions are ablaze, they're glowing because of the effulgence. And then as I'm trying to look at it, pashyami tvam durniriksham samantat. So niriksha is to see, durniriksham is that which is difficult to see. So I'm seeing this form which is actually very difficult to see, durniriksham samantat. And deepta analarkadyutima prameyam. Deepta anala, anala is fire, deepta is burning, blazing. So the word deepta has been used twice in the same verse. Deeptimantam and deepta analarka. So arka is the sun. So he's saying this is effulgent, like blazing fire, like sun. Dutima prameyam, and duti is the effulgence. It is aprameyam, it is immeasurable. So the essential point he's saying is, okay, I am seeing the kiriti, gadinam, chakrinam, I am seeing the crowns, I am seeing the maces, I am seeing the discs, but basically it's blindingly effulgent. So this verse emphasizes, as he is trying to discern, sometimes when there is a very dark, bright light, then we can't see anything clearly. So he is telling, this is so effulgent, I can't see anything clearly. Durniriksham samantar. And then he further describes, what happens after that? Let's look forward to his description. Then as he understands, oh, this is a manifesting of absolute truth. So his description starts becoming a glorification. So, tamaksharam paramam veditavyam tamasya vishvasya param nidhanam tamavya shashvita dharma gopta sanatanastvam purusho matome tamaksharam. You are the infallible, imperishable. Paramam veditavyam. You are the supreme. Paramam veditavyam. You are the ultimate object to be known. Tamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. You are of the universe, the supreme shelter, supreme basis. Tamavya shashvata dharma gopta. You are inexhaustible and you are the eternal protector of religion. Dharma gopta. Sanatanastam purusho matome. You are the eternal supreme personality. This is my opinion. So here what is happening? The perception is, the description of the perception is changing into a glorification and an identification. Matome. This is my opinion. So initially when he sees, he is not able to make sense of anything. This earlier I was describing about how people who have been congenitally blind and then they get eyes, they just can't make sense of anything. But gradually, okay, when they touch a knife, worksmith touches a knife and then understands, oh, this is a knife, this is a tool, this is a saw, like that. So it's gradually the identification, when the perception is linked with our pre-existing conceptions, then there is identification. So like that, he is seeing something blinding over here initially, something all-pervading, something blinding. Now we identify, oh. Sanatanastvam purusho matome. You are the supreme person. So till now, it is not directly a prayer, although there is a mood of a little bit of a prayer, but right now what is going on is the description. And in the description, there is a glorification also. So, anadimadhyantam anantaviryam anantabahum shashisurya netram pashyamitvam deeptahutasya vaktram svatejasa vishwamidam tapantam. So, anadimadhyantam anantaviryam. So, what he described earlier is slightly repeated. Nantam namadhyam napunastavadim. Same thing he is saying. Anadimadhyantam anantaviryam. So there is no beginning, no middle, no end. Anantaviryam. There are unlimited glories. Anantabahum. That you have unlimited arms. And Shashi Surya Netram. That there are the sun and the moon who are acting in your eyes. Pashyami Tvam Deepta Hutasya Vaktram. I am seeing you. Now earlier he said there's effulgence around your head. He didn't mention the word head, but there's just effulgence all around. Now the description is becoming a little more, and Hutasya Vaktram. So Vaktram is the mouth. So actually there is just a huge effulgence that is everywhere. But as he is discerning the face, then he's saying from the mouth blazing fire is coming out. Blazing fire. Deepta word is used again. Deepta Hutasya Vaktram. So, this is a form which is actually quite frightening. Sometimes when a person is angry, we feel frightened by the person. But if the person's mouth opens, and sometimes some yogis or something, they open their mouth, fire comes out. So actually, there are people who do some jugglery by which they seem to be eating fire. And they take some fire in the hand, and it goes inside. So they're called fire eaters. So it's of course mostly jugglery. But even eating fire is frightening to see. What is putting out fire? Oh, fire comes out. It's a deepta hutasya vaktram. The blazing mouth is there. And then svatejasa vishwamidam tapantam. Svatejasa, with your own effulgence. Vishwamidam, the whole universe is tapantam. Tapantam is blazing. It's becoming hot. So till now only sight was being described. Now even the sensation of touch in terms of heat is also being described. So the whole description is moving forward now. And we'll see how this is he also makes some other points here. Shashi Surya Netram. Shashi Surya. The sun and the moon are like your eyes, which I'm seeing over here. So now we see a picture of the Virat Rupa and we see many, many different forms over there. So actually the Virat Rupa is so difficult that it's impossible for us to conceive or describe, what to speak of to depict. So whatever depiction is done is a partial depiction which is indicative of what was seen by Arjuna. So there it is described that he was seeing many faces. So that's what Sanjaya is also, Anek Vakta Netram, many, many faces. And Krishna and Arjuna has said over here that Pashyami Tvam, I'm seeing a mouth which is blazing and burning. And then he's saying eyes are also splendorous. They are like the sun and the moon. So basically, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the repetition is because of ecstasy and amazement that what is happening. This is so extraordinary. That is why out of ecstasy there is a repetition that is coming up. So Dhyava Prithivyor Idamantaram Hi Vyaptam Tvayaikena Dishascha Sarva Rishtvadvatam Rupam Ugram Tavedam Lokatrayam Pravithitam Mahatman. So now there is a beginning of the description of fear over here, but slightly Lokatrayam. So all the three words are Pravithitam, they are troubled. Mahatman, oh great one, Mahatman. So here the word Mahatman is used by Arjuna to refer to Krishna. Krishna has used this word Sanjay has used it earlier to refer to Krishna, who is going to reveal the Virat Rupa. So now Arjuna is also using it. So Dyava Prithivyor. So what does this mean? Dyava is actually the sky. Prithivyor is the earth. So actually this word, this form is pervading all of this vertical dimension also. So it's Dyava Prithivyor Idamantaram Hi. The whole distance that is there, it's completely pervaded. Vyaptam Toyekena, it's not just the vertical direction that is pervaded. Vyaptam means occupied, pervaded. Toyekena, by you alone. Not only the vertical dimension, but also Dishas Chisarva, all directions. So actually when Arjuna sees the Virat Rupa, he doesn't even see at that time anybody else. He doesn't see the Kurukshetra battlefield at all. He is transported by the divine vision that he has been given into a different arena of perception, and he's not able to see anything. He doesn't see the warriors. At least he doesn't see the warriors as they are waiting for him, the conversation to get over so that the war can start. But then he's simply seeing this only one thing, and drishtadbhutam rupam ugram tavedam. So he's describing, using two adjectives to describe this form. Rupa, what is it? Adbhutam and ugram. Adbhutam means wonderful and ugram is dreadful. So normally wonderful and dreadful, we don't bring it together. So means wonderful is a positive emotion, dreadful is a negative emotion. But he is saying wonderful and dreadful. Prabhupada translated ugram as terrible. So it's just, there's a conflicting emotions going on through Arjuna's mind because his form is so extraordinary. Drishtva adbhutam rupam ugram tavedam. And then lokatrayam pratitam mahatman. That, oh great one, everyone is bewildered. So now what is happening? We'll see in the future verses described that Arjuna is not only seeing this form. In this form, he is seeing Brahmaji and other devatas. But along with that, he is seeing that others are also seeing this form. The members of the celestial planets. The devatas and others are seeing their form, and they are getting troubled by seeing this form. So we'll see how their reaction is gradually in the next few verses. So let's look at an overview of what is going to happen in this. This Arjuna's description. So first is 15 to 20 is what we are discussing right now. Vision of the universe. Then 20 to 23 is description of the effect of the on the universe. That means there are other arenas of existence where other living beings are there. Rudra, Aditya and all those. And they are affected also by the fury of the Virat Rupa. And then as this effect pervades, and there is an effect on Arjuna also. So what is that effect on Arjuna? That will be described in 23-25. And then 26 to 30 will be, Arjuna will see not only the universe, not only the celestial beings affected, but Arjuna himself gets affected. And after he gets affected by seeing that, he suddenly sees that in that Virat Rupa, he is seeing the Kurukshetra battlefield itself. And he is seeing all the warriors from there getting devoured. And that really shakes him. And finally in 31st he asks, who are you? Who are you? Akhya hiko bhanugra rupo. Who are you? And that is how this terrifying description actually ends with a question. It's a question which is filled with awe. So let's see what he's. So now from here onwards, we see the effect on the universe. Ami hitvam surasangha vishanti kechit bhita pranjalayo grananti swasti tyuktva maharshi siddha sangha stuvanti tvam suti bhi pushkalabhi. So ami hitvam. So all those surasangha vishanti. So all the Sura Sangha. Sangha is groups, Sura is Devata. So the Devatas are Vishanti, entering into you. Kechit Bhitaha Pranjalayo Grinanti. Kechit, some of them Bhitaha, they become fearful, and Pranjalayo. Pranjalayo means with folded hands. Grinanti. So earlier, Name Vidhu Surgana Prabhavam Namaharshaya. In 10.2, Arjuna has said that even the Suras and the Rishis don't know me. So here the effect on the Suras and the Rishis is described. Even they, when they see the Virat Rupa, they are amazed. And swasti tyuktva maharshi siddha sangha. So swasti, swasti, swasti means peace, auspiciousness. Swasti. Now, swasti, the om is depicted diagrammatically and it is depicted by lines. Swasti is a symbol. So Hitler had appropriated the symbol for his Nazi regime, but he had twisted it around. So actually he didn't want swasti, he wanted aswasti for everyone. He wanted his inauspiciousness for everyone except the Nazis. He wanted Nazis to be the rulers of the whole world. And for some, he wanted the, like the Jews and the Gypsies, he wanted the inauspiciousness of complete annihilation. But swasti, swasti. Ityuktva, here, the Virat Rupa, on seeing it, the Rishis, swasti ityuktva, maharshi siddha sanghas, maharshi siddhas, they are saying, swasti, be auspicious, 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 like we say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So like that, swasti, swasti. They are saying, Suhanti tvam sati bhi pushkala bhi. And then, generally whenever the Lord appears in a manifestation, so stuvanti, that time, praises are offered. So that is the standard. When the Lord is a glorious, worshipable person, so when he appears, it's appropriate to praise him. So praises are being offered. Stuvanti, suhanti tvam sati bhi pushkala bhi. So praises are being offered. So now, first is the demigods are shocked and they are also saying, they are kechid bhita, they are folding hands, and the rishis, they are offering prayers, prayers, and they are trying to pacify the Lord in that way. And then what happens? Now he sees who are all the specific beings whom he is seeing. So as he is observing, he starts discerning, and as he discerns, he describes further. Rudra aditya vasavo ye cha sadhya Vishveshvishnahu marunascho varutascho smapascha Gandharva yaksha surusiddha sangha Vikshante tvam vismitascha iva sarve. So Rudra Aditya Vasavo ye cha sadhya. Sadhyas are also one kind of beings in the universe. Vishveshvinahu, so there are Vishve Devas, Ashwini Kumaras, Marutas, and the ancestors are referred to by a very interesting word, Ushmapa. So Ushma is, as you know, Ushma is heat. So the steam eaters. So it is said that the ancestors, they eat steam. Ush, they drink steam, they eat or drink, whatever you want to say, steam. That is one of their diets. So different beings in the universe have different kinds of diets. So they are being referred to by their diet over Ushma pasture. And Gandharva Yaksha Surasiddha Sangha. So Gandharva Yaksha, and even the Asuras are there. It's not just the higher beings, even the lower beings are there. Siddha Sangha, all this happening. Vikshante Tvam, they are all seeing you. And what is the, as they are seeing you, what is happening? Vismitashchaiva Sarve, Vismit. They are amazed, astonished to see all this. So Rudra is there, and Shiva is there over there. Now Brahma has already been described right at the beginning itself. Brahmanamishvam Kamala Sinistham. In the first verse, in the 15th only it was described. So here 22 Rudra is also mentioned. And then first they are amazed, but just like Arjuna, there is amazement, but from there fear will come. So here also, for the devatas also, fear is being described now. Rupam Mahate Bahuvaktra Vetram Mahabaho Bahubahu Rupadam Bahudaram Bahudamishtra Karalam Rishtvaloka Pravithas Tathaham. Rupam Mahate, this great form, Bahuvaktranetram, Bahuvaktranetram, there are many faces and many eyes. Mahabaho, Bahubahu Rupadam, Mahabaho, very powerful arms are there. Mahabaho actually refers to the Lord who is mighty armed one. Bahubahu Rupadam, so there are many, many arms, many feet, many thighs. Bahudaram Bahudamishtra Karalam, Bahudaram, there are many bellies and many teeth. And what are the nature of the teeth? Karalam, they are fearsome teeth. Generally, generally one of the frightening features of the Rakshasa that is often shown is Rakshasa sometimes have horns coming out of their head, and then they have teeth coming out of their mouth also. It's very frightening, teeth. So here Damishtra Karalam, so Bahudamishtra Karalam. And what happens? Drishtva Loka Pravithita Stathaham. So Drishtva Loka, seeing this, Loka Pravithita. So everybody is Pravithita, everybody is disturbed, perturbed, as Prabhupada translates Pravithita. And then Stathaham. So now, sometimes when people go and see a horror movie, you know, in the horror movie, there's some frightening, maybe shape-changing creature which suddenly assumes some horrible form and pounces, and then everybody there is scared. So initially, when people go to watch the movie, they are observing and they're getting entertainment. But as the image becomes more and more grotesque, then not only are the characters in the horror movie frightened, but even the audience gets frightened. So like that, Arjuna is seeing and he's saying, oh, they are all frightened, but I am also getting disturbed. Pratipravritta satha aham. I am also disturbed like that. Then he describes further. He goes on describing further the form. So, you know, till 23 it was describing effect on the universe. Now Arjuna will start describing effect on me. So that aham is the transition where he starts going to talk about his own emotions. Navaspriśam deeptamaneka varanam yatananam deeptavishalanetram drishtva hitam pravitam taratma putimna vinnamishamam javishnu. So Nabha Sprisham is again describing Dyava, Prithivi, or was told earlier. So Nabha Sprisham, reaching right up to the sky. Deeptamane Kavaranam Deepta. The word Deepta has come several times till now. So effulgent. That's a word which Arjuna is using repeatedly because it's such a blinding sight. Deeptamane Kavaranam. There are many colors which I am seeing over there. Vyatananam. Vyatananam, the mouth is wide open. Deepta Vishal Netram, and again the eyes are effulgent. Deepta Vishal, and they are large eyes and they are deep, they are effulgent. You know, Krishna is said to have large eyes, but they are very sweet eyes. Sundara Kundala Naina Vishala. So Naina Vishala, Krishna has large eyes, but Krishna's eyes are filled with curiosity and love and they bring joy to the heart. But this Virat Rupa, the eyes are scary. Deepta Vishala Netram Drishtva Hitvam Pravitantaratma. By seeing it, my antaratma, my whole being is pravitita. And Dhrutim Navindami Shamam Cha Vishnu. Dhrutim Navindami, I am not able to maintain my peace. So it's interesting, he is now identifying this as Vishnu. Till now he is not identifying it as anyone else. This Param Sanatanastam Purusho Matome, you are the supreme person. But he's identifying it here as Vishnu, this universal form. So he's recognizing this Vishnu. So the word Vishnu will come once more in the descriptions. So he knows this Vishnu, but just like in the Narasimha Leela it is described that when Lakshmi Devi saw Narasimha Dev, she was hesitant to approach. Lord Narasimha Dev was so angry and none of the devatas could pacify. At that time Brahma told Lakshmi Devi, you pacify. He says, even I have not seen my Lord in this mood, I can't go there. Vishwanathachari Thakur explains in his purport there that actually Lakshmi Devi resides eternally with Lord Narasimha Dev in the spiritual world as his consort, and she knows the Lord. But here the Yogamaya potency covered her, and the whole arrangement of the Yogamaya potency was such that it was the whole pastime was orchestrated to demonstrate, highlight and underscore the singularly exalted devotion of Prahlad Maharaj. So when everybody else in the universe has submitted to Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad did not submit. And when everyone else could failed in pacifying Narasimha Dev, Prahlad Maharaj would be able to pacify. So in this way, the whole pastime is orchestrated in such a way that Prahlad Maharaj's extraordinary devotion will be conveyed to the world. So the point is, similarly here Arjuna, he in a sense is knows Krishna who has revealed the form, and he knows Krishna and Vishnu are the same. So he is identifying it intellectually as Vishnu, this very Vishnu Rupa. But still, we will see the later verses, he will get so overwhelmed, he will ask, who are you? Bhavan Ugra Rupo. Utim Navindami. He says, I am not able to maintain my composure, my tranquility, my steadiness, I can't maintain it at all. And further, he asks, Damshtra Karala Nichate Mukhani Drishtvaiva Kalanala Sannibhani Nishona Janena Labheja Sharma Prasid Devesha Jagan Nivasa. So Damshtra Karalani, Karalani, that means Karalani's teeth are terrible. So Damshtra Karalani is terrible teeth. Chate Mukhani, I am seeing the terrible teeth in your mouth. And what is happening? So earlier separately it was described there was a fire coming out and the teeth were also described. But now both are described together. As everything is becoming clear, he says, first of all there are fearsome teeth, and after that there was this scary fire also coming out. Drishtvaiva kalanala sannibhani. And it's not just any ordinary fire. What is this fire? It is kalanala. Kalanala, it is like the fire of universal destruction. Kalanala. So the fire that happens when the universe is to be destroyed is called a kalanala. And then he says, Dishona janena labhe cha sharma. Dishona jane, I don't understand which way, which is right, which is left, which is top, which is bottom. And sometimes when we are too overwhelmed by emotions, our emotions make us lose our voice. We just lose orientation of everything. So like that's why sometimes when people have tremendous emotions and then they fall down. Because the body loses its orientational ability. So like that, Dishona janena labhe cha sharma. So actually, my dear Lord, please have mercy on me. And then Prasida Devesha Jagan Nivasa. So you are here, yeah, Prasida, please be pleased with me. Devesha, you are the Lord of all the gods. Clearly, he has seen all the devatas folding hands and offering respect. So this is Devesha. And you are Jagan Nivasa. You are the shelter of all the gods. So from here onwards, what is happening? Arjuna is after describing the personal effect on him, how he has become terrorized, practically speaking, then he will start talking about this, the vision itself changing further and becoming even more scary. So just seeing the fury of the form is bad enough, but now he starts seeing that that form is not just somewhere far away, it's right here. So imagine that somebody is watching a horror movie and then they see them, a scary creature with a blazing mouth and frightening teeth, and that is attacking, that is coming somewhere. Just the sight will scare it. And suddenly you find that, okay, what is being seen over there on the movie screen is not just some distant place. You see the same movie theater in which you are sitting. And you see all the other spectators who are in the audience, they are getting suddenly consumed. So what happens? That which is a distant vision suddenly acquires an immediate urgency which causes panic. So like that, Arjuna is now not seeing this the universal form, blazing fire and causing heat in a distant arena. He suddenly sees everything happening on the battlefield. And that takes the fear to a far greater level. So he starts describing how that vision now becomes, that remote vision becomes immediate. Amichatvam dhritarashtrasya putraha sarvesaha ivavanipala sanghai Bhishmo Drona Suta Putras Tathasau Sahasmadiye Rapiyo Damukhe Vaktranite Twaramana Vishanti Damshtrakaralani Bhayanakani Kechid Vilagna Dashanantaresho Sandrushyante Churnitairu Tamangai. So Amichatvam, he says, here these are all what? Dhritarashtrasya putraha. So Dhritarashtrasya putraha, all the sons of the Dhritarashtra Kauravas. Sarve sahaiva avanipal sanghai. So Avani is earth. Avanipal is the, you know, referred to the kings. So the various kings are there. Sarve saha, along with the sons of Dhritarashtra, there are all the various kings also. Pal sanghai, the groups of all of them. And then he's saying, even it's not only those who are vicious, but even the pious. Bhishmo Drona Suta Putras Tathasau. So Bhishma and Drona are objects of his respect and reverence. So Bhishma Drona Pramuktaha. Actually, when Krishna had taken the chariot, we discussed in the first chapter, he placed it in front of Bhishma and Drona. And that took Arjuna's confusion to an indecision to a much higher level. Much more insolvable level. So here he is saying that even they are there. Bhishma Drona Suta Putras Tathasau. And Suta Putra refers to Karna. He is also there. Sahasmadiyair Apiyodhamukhyai. So Sahasmadiyair. Asmadiyair means even our side. So it's not just the opponents. So actually when the Virat Rupa. Now the Virat Rupa here, Kala Rupa is being described in the Virat Rupa. So what is this Kala Rupa? See, the universe generally has two dimensions, space and time. So space, we generally see up, down, left, right. So all of space is pervaded, but space is only one part of it. In the material existence, there is space and time. So time causes destruction to everyone. So later on we'll see when Arjuna asks, who are you? You know, he is able to identify the Vishwarupa, but and that's what he had asked to see, but he did not expected to see the Kala Rupa, which also is revealed. And Krishna had said that, I will see you Anya, something more also which you may like to see. So here he is seeing this, and in the Kala Rupa, see, eventually in time everybody is going to be destroyed. You know, it is said that life is a journey through which nobody comes out alive, you know, at a material level. So no one comes out of life alive. So if you look at life from a perspective of one lifetime material existence, then everybody has to die. So at that level, at the material level of existence, so even the good and the bad, both are destroyed. So we may say, generally when people go to God, they want something good, they want something peaceful, they want something sweet and soothing. So what is this kind of, you know, God is giving a vision. Generally when people want to see something ghastly, they go to a horror movie. If people go to a temple and they start seeing something ghastly and grisly over there, you know, they say blood and fire and teeth coming out, they say, hey, is this, what is this? I didn't come to temple to see this. So we may wonder, is this something related to God? And God is himself revealing his vision and everything seems to be so terrible over here. So what is this? Actually, the Vedic culture's understanding, Vedic philosophy's understanding of God is not just one-sided, it's all-sided. And all-sided means it understands that actually material nature has two aspects. One aspect is the aspect of stability, stasis, and the other aspect is the aspect of change. So stability in the material world is largely an illusion. Even now when I am sitting, everything in me is changing. Cells, even you are looking at my face, but the cells in my face are also growing old and are changing. My whole body is changing. Even I am speaking right now, but the voice cords that are there, the voice cords are also, the cells within them are growing. They are, some old ones are dying, some new ones are coming. And like that, everything is in a state of flux. You may be sitting on a chair. The chair under you, it may seem to be solid and stable, but within that also electrons are whizzing around. At a subatomic level, matter is coming into things are just coming into existence and going out of existence, not in absolute terms, but specific forms are getting destroyed. So destruction is an integral part of material existence. And any vision of life, any conception of God that does not include destruction is incomplete. It is describing only a part of the reality and not a complete reality. So the Virat Rupa doesn't mean that God likes to be like this, or God is inherently destructive. No, God is himself a supremely all-attractive loving person, as will be described in the later chapters. And even in this chapter, Arjuna will say, I don't want to see this form, I want to see your Saumya Rupa, your sweet form. But the point remains that this is an aspect of material nature, and denying it doesn't drive away its reality, it still remains real. So the Vedic culture, the Bhagavad Gita's vision includes that. So destruction is also an aspect of God. How is it an aspect of God? It is one of his energies. Now when God destroys, that is not cruelty, because God destroys the temporary to make way for the eternal. It's not cruelty. Now, as long as our hearts are attached to the temporary, we stay on in the cycle of birth and death. So when the destructiveness is being described over here, the purpose of the destruction is not just destruction itself. Through the destruction, we are shown in stark terms how everything in this world is perishable. Nothing is going to last forever. Therefore, we should not keep our affections, our attachments in this world for long. Should redirect our affections and emotions from the world towards the source of the world, towards Krishna. So in our heart, that by demonstration of the destructiveness of this world, the temporary is replaced with the eternal. That's what should happen over a period of time. And it is that which is being demonstrated over here. So destroyer, God is not a destroyer per se or alone. God is the eternal lover and the beloved. But when we turn away from him, then we place ourselves in the arena of destruction. And we understand that destruction also is an aspect of God only. It's an energy of God which is meant to redirect our affection, our love, our devotion from the temporary to the eternal. So God destroys the temporary to make way for the eternal. So Now he is describing Vaktrani te Twaramana Vishanti. So Vaktrani into their mouth, Twaramana Vishanti, they are entering. So who are all the warriors from both sides? And Dhamishtra Karalani Bhaya. So the teeth which are there, they are fearful. Karalani Bhayanakani. There are actually two words that I use. Karalani is itself very terrible and Bhayanakani is very fearful. So because it's so scary, so unnerving, so blood freezing, that Arjuna is trying to convey that through different words. And then even more scary is Kechid Vilagna Dashanantareshu. So some of them, as they are entering into you, so as they are going into the mouth, what is happening? So all these warriors are just entering into the mouth. So earlier it was described, fire is coming out. So fire coming out is bad enough. We may be afraid to see something with fire coming out. Will that fire come and take me? But now what is being described is something opposite only. It's like, you know, suction pump pulls everything inside. So like that, everybody seems to be going inside this Virat Rupa. So as they are going in also, it's scary, but Dashana Antareshu, Dashan is teeth, Antareshu, in the space between the teeth, as they are going inside, these teeth are coming out, and the path is not unobstructed as they go inside. So as they go inside, some of them, Sadrushyante Churanitairu Tamangai. So Anga is body, Uttamanga is the best part of the body, so it's said to be the head. The head, we think with the head. The Brahmanas are considered the most important part of the social body also. The head directs the rest of the body. So Uttamangai refers to the head. So what is happening? The head is crashing against the teeth. Dhamishtra Karani Bhayanakani. And then Sandrushyante Churnitaya. Churnitaya means it's getting crushed. Sometimes there's head-on accident and some people's bones come out. It's a scary sight to see. But what to speak of a head coming out? Oh, it's a terrible, terrible sight which is there. Arjuna is overwhelmed by seeing it. Now, the Arjuna, although he is overwhelmed, now he gives a further description of how everybody is going inside. Everybody is going inside, so he uses two metaphors. And those use of two metaphors has a significance. So let us look at those two metaphors. Yatha nadinam bhavam bhuvega samudrameva vimukha dravanti tatha tavami naralok veera Vishanti Vaktrani Bhivijvalanti. So, Yatha Nadinam, just as a river, what happens? Bahava Ambu Vega. The many waves in the ocean, river, they have their own force, Vega. Bahava Ambu Vega, and what happens? Samudrameva Bhimukha Dravanti. They enter into Samudra. Abhimukha Dravanti. So it glides towards the ocean. Tatha Tavami Naraloka Veera. Tatha Tavami. Tavami means unto you. All these. Ami is these. Tava is you. Similarly, all these are entering, you know, Naraloka Veera. Who are these? They are not ordinary people. They are great heroes among the human beings. Naraloka. Among the abode of the human beings. Prabhupada translates human society. They are Veeras, they are great heroes. And what is happening? Vishanti Vaktrani Abhivijvalanti. They are entering in the blazing mouth. Vishanti Vaktrani. So let's look at this and the next verse. So here they are compared to, just as river enters into ocean, similarly these warriors are entering into your mouth. So let's look at the next verse also and then we'll come back and compare both. Yatha Pratiptam Jvalanam Patanga Vishanti Nashaya Samriddha Vega Tathaiva Nashaya Vishanti Lokas Tavapi Vaktrani Samriddha Vega So Yatha Pradeeptam Jvalana Patanga. So just as a blazing fire into which Patanga is the moths. When the moths enter, what happens? Vishanti Nashaya, they actually enter and they are destroyed. And here a curious word is Samriddha Vega. And they go very fast. Vega is speed. Samruddha is actually endowed with, full of. So normally Samruddha is used in a positive sense. That, okay, there is Samruddhi over here. There is prosperity over here. So speed in an animal could normally be used positively. Oh, this animal can move so fast. This creature can move so fast. But if a moth is rushing towards fire, then that samruddhi actually is not desirable. It is going to lead to destruction. If a car is going very fast and it is very fast veering off the road down into a valley, then the greater the speed, the greater the destruction that is going to happen. So samruddha vega. So actually, you know, we are taking out fossil fuels from the earth, and we take fossil fuels out from the earth, the better our technology becomes, the better we become, the worse we become. How is that? And the better we become, our technology becomes, then we are able to take out more and more fossil fuels from the earth. So more and more fossil fuels are required because our needs for fuel are so much. But then, as the fossil fuels are coming out, the reserves are not unlimited. So when the reserves get exhausted, what will happen? Then we'll have a serious crisis. So speed in all situations is not always good. So when here samruddha vega is used in a negative sense, and oh, these patangas are going so fast in the fire, like that, tha tathaiva nashaya vishanti lokas. So similarly, the people vishanti nashaya, they are entering into your mouth. Tavapi vaktrani samruddha vegaha. Samruddha vegaha means with great speed. So he is using a second metaphor, that of moths entering into fire. So first was river entering into ocean, second is moth entering into fire. What is the difference between the two? The world of difference. See the difference. Now actually, there are all the acharyas have analyzed it. Baldev, Devashin, Shikrathipa talk about it. So they basically say that one is natural, the other is voluntary. One is involuntary. So the river naturally goes towards the ocean, whereas the moth voluntarily goes towards the fire. So similarly, it said that Bhishma, Drona, they didn't actually, it was just the course of events beyond their control, because of which they had to fight on the side of the Kauravas, and they were going to be destroyed now. So they were going to be destroyed is not changing, but their getting involved, they were not malicious, they were not evil minded. They did not willingly and intentionally enter into the war and court destruction and disaster and death. Just as a river, by the arrangement which itself goes towards the ocean, similarly, by higher arrangement, by the force of circumstances, they were in a situation where they could not opt out of the war and they had to fight on the wrong side and they would be destroyed by that. So, on the other hand, a moth chooses willingly and deliberately to enter into the fire and court its destruction. Similarly, this moth metaphor is used to refer to the Kauravas, Duryodhana and his brothers, because they knew that what they were doing were wrong. Not just Duryodhana's brothers, even his whole network of friends, Shakuni included also, to some extent Karna also. So they knew that they are actually if we enter into it, there will be destruction. So did they know that? They may not have known exactly. Duryodhana was so confident, he was thinking, I'll not be destroyed. But Duryodhana was sure that he would win, and he was ready to provoke war. In fact, he wanted war. He was so overconfident about his own strength that at one time, just before the war, Maitreya Rishi came. And Maitreya Rishi told him, no, don't fight this war. He said, you will be destroyed. You cannot first stand against the Pandavas, and you can certainly not stand against Krishna. So at that time, Duryodhana was so insolent. Normally, sages should be respected, but he was beyond hearing anyone. So in his insolence, not only did he turn a deaf ear towards the request of Maitreya Rishi, in sheer defiance. See, one is negligence, second is defiance. Negligence means somebody saying something, we don't pay attention. But defiance is we do the opposite of what that person is saying. That is even more disrespectful. So defiance. So how did Duryodhana show his defiance? What did he do? He started beating his thighs right in front of him. So the idea is generally wrestlers, you know, they may beat their arms and they beat their thighs to show their strength. See, I have so much power, come and fight with me. So he bit his thigh. So at that time Maitreya Rishi lost his temper. He said, I've come to give you good advice. Not only are you neglecting it, but you are defying me. He says, a very thigh that you are proud of, that thigh will be broken and that thigh will become the cause of your death. So he cursed in this way, At that time, Dhritarashtra sobered up. And Dhritarashtra said, hey, and he actually said, Bhima will break this thigh. And Bhima will cause your death. But Dhritarashtra sobered up and he became scared actually. This is Duryodhana remained defiant. And Dhritarashtra said, oh, please forgive my son. He is foolish, he is insolent. Please take back your curse. So Maitreya Rishi said that, I cannot take back the curse. He said, if he agrees to my counsel and refuses to fight the war, then the curse will not act. But otherwise, the curse will act. So actually, Duryodhana, before that also, you know, when Draupadi had been dishonored and brought to the assembly, so at that time he had exposed his thigh and he said, now you are my maid servant, come and sit here. So at that time, Bhima, enraged, had taken a vow, I'll break this thigh of yours. So Bhima had already taken that vow, and Maitreya Rishi's curse further reinforced that vow. So the point is, Duryodhana knowingly, intentionally, deliberately chose to go into the mouths of destruction. In fact, before the war started, Duryodhana sent the son of Shakuni. And he sent the son of Shakuni and he told him to give messages. And he actually, in that message, insulted all the Kaurava leaders. He insulted Yudhishthira. He said, Yudhishthira, you think you are a great king, but what a fool. You lost yourself, you lost your wife, you lost your kingdom in a gambling match. And such an attached and foolish person I have not seen. And I am going to crush you, and the exile that you suffered is going to be nothing. You have to suffer the humiliation of defeat against me. He said, Arjuna, you think you are a great hero? You know, you had to become a dance teacher. Not only as a dance teacher, you became a eunuch. You not only became a eunuch, you are always a eunuch. Your power is just on the in words. I will crush you and defeat you like that. And he said, Bhima, you think you are very powerful, you are nothing, just a cow. So he insulted everyone. By the time Shakuni's son finished speaking, the whole Pandava assembly was filled with furious warriors, and they are roaring and growling and thundering. And there Shakuni's son became so scared. He said, oh, Yudhishthira, remember the codes. You know, a messenger should not be harmed. I am simply giving the message of my master. So Yudhishthira calmed down, and then all the Pandavas, you know, they gave their responses. And then various Pandava warriors also gave their responses. The point was that the war was about to take place, and anyway they were going to fight. But Duryodhana was so insolent, so brazen, so arrogant, that he, as if the war was not bad enough, he wanted to provoke the Kauravas. It's like putting, if you wound somebody, the wound is itself painful, then you take the skin apart and put salt on it. The wound becomes even more, the pain becomes even more intolerable. So like that, he was putting salt on the wound, aggravating the agony of the Pandavas and infuriating them beyond all limits. So like that, he was actually provoking them. So he was like a moth entering into fire. So Vishanti Nashaya Samrutta Vega. It's just like the moths very fast enter into fire. So like that, Duryodhana, fast he entered into fire, provoking the Pandavas and getting their wrath, which eventually in 18 days would destroy him completely. So, one is voluntary, one is involuntary. There's a big difference between the two. That's what is conveyed by these two examples which Arjuna has used. Now, beyond that, there are other acharyas who explain further. In the Sri Sampradaya, Ramacharya is a prominent commentator, is a systematizer, one of the prominent acharyas in the Sampradaya. And after him, there are two acharyas who were prominent successors. Not immediately, but after some time. Vedanta Deshika was one of them and Pillai Lokacharya was the other. So Vedanta Deshika is called as a Tark Ratna. He's a great logician, jewel among logicians. So he has written his insights about this verse, and Vedanta Deshika describes some brilliant points. He says that actually, I'm paraphrasing now, materialistic people are also going to die, spiritualists are also going to die. So what is the difference? Ultimately, everybody has to die, whether you believe that there is a God, whether you believe that there is afterlife or not. Now, in this world, everybody has to die. So what is the big deal? What is the need to practice spiritual life? So he says, through these examples, a profound point is being conveyed. When a river goes to the ocean, the river's nature continues to say the same. The river is water when it is before, flowing towards the ocean. And when it reaches the ocean also, it continues to be water. So in that sense, it continues to exist. So like that, those who are devotees, devotee Supreme Lord, they are serving Krishna in this world. And eventually, when they return back after their death, when they reach the ocean, what happens at that time? They, in the spiritual world, they continue to serve the Supreme Lord. So in that sense, their essential nature doesn't change. On the other hand, with respect to a moth, when the moth enters into the fire, what happens? The moth is burnt. The soul is never destroyed. Nainam dahati pavaka. But the moth which is existing at that particular level of existence, the body is completely destroyed. It's burnt to ashes, scarred beyond recognition, and reduced to nothing, practically speaking. And the soul has to go into another body to have another different kind of existence. So like that, those who live at the materialistic level of existence, when death comes, it destroys completely. Nothing is left for them. Only their karma goes from this body to another body, and all their positions, they lose everything. So although death comes for both, but the essential nature of the death experience and the consequence of that is very radically different. Now, for devotees, death is a transition, after which there is basically a continuation. They exist at a material level of existence, then later they will exist at the spiritual level of existence. But here they are serving Krishna, they also will continue to serve Krishna. Whereas with respect to materialistic people, everything is destroyed for them. So secondly, not only is the end different, but also in the process also. You know, when a moth is moving towards the fire, the moth does not do any good to anyone. The moth simply destroys itself. But when a river is moving towards the ocean, the river nourishes all the land that is by its side. It gets nourished and watered. So like that, when devotees are serving the Supreme Lord, they are moving towards the Lord. But while moving towards the Lord, what are they doing? They are also benefiting others. The devotees, by living a life centered on God, they set an example for others. Oh, this is how life is actually meant to be lived. And further, by their actions, they may also, even by their words, they may share Krishna consciousness with others. And in this way, they are basically doing a lot of valuable things for everyone else. So the existence of a devotee is beneficial for the world. Just as the flow of the river towards the ocean is beneficial for all those who are on the bank. Not just plants, but even animals, even human beings, everyone. So like that, Maitraha Karuna Evach, in the 12th chapter, Krishna will describe how devotees are the well-wishing friends of everyone, the compassionate friends of everyone. So the existence of a devotee is beneficial in this world, and afterwards it is beautiful in the next world. Because it's beautiful in the sense that the devotee continues to serve the Supreme Lord, and he continues to serve without any of the problems that were being faced in material world. In the material world, we have a body that limits us, we have a mind that distracts us. In the spiritual world, we don't have either. So the life of devotional service is beneficial to others, and it has a beautiful ending in terms of we get to a place where we can serve Krishna without any restriction or distraction. Now, after describing this, so he says that all these people are going inside, and they are in two kinds. They are like rivers entering into ocean and moths entering into fire. Then he continues further description of what is happening. Leliya Segrasamana Samantal Lokan Samagna Ran Vadanay Jwaladbi Tejo Bhirapura Jagat Samagram Vasastavogra Pratapanti Vishnu. So second time he is using the word Vishnu. He is identifying this Vishnu. So Leliya Se. Now in the 27th verse, what was described? That Sandrishyante Churnitair Uttamangai. So when these people are entering into the mouth, at that time they are hitting against the teeth and their skulls are shattering apart, and then blood is flowing aside. Then blood is flowing aside, what happens? Leli yase. So this Virat Rupa is taking the tongue out and is licking. Generally speaking, if something is delicious, you know, if we are taking some rasgulla and some juice is there on the mouth, then you don't want to miss out the juice. So we lick everything. So like that, this Virat Rupa, what is it doing? He's licking the blood. So Leli yase grasamana samantal. Krasamana, while devouring everyone, Leliya Se. And then Lokan Samagran Vadanair Jwaladbi. Lokan Samagran, all the people from everywhere, Padanair Jolabhi, this blazing mouth is consuming everything. So now this may seem very disturbing for us. What is this actually? The Virat Rupa is not only devouring everyone, but is also licking blood. Normally, we are supposed to be vegetarian. So, what is happening with the Virat Rupa? Is licking blood and consuming people. So, you have to understand here that this is a vision. This is a vision. It's not that there is a form of God which consumes everything. But the point is, this is a vision which demonstrates a particular principle. What is that principle? That there is destruction in this world, and that destruction is inevitable, and that destruction is also within the jurisdiction of God. So when we see this kind of vision, we have to understand that all pervasive aspect of God's actions. And specifically, we discussed earlier how in 4.24 in the Bhagavad Gita, when Brahma Arpanam Brahma Mahavir, so there Acharya has explained that this is actually like a yajna. The boar is like a yajna, and the Kurukshetra is the yajnasthali. The Kauravas are Ahuti, and the Gandiva, Arjuna, your Gandiva is the spoon with which you will be offering the Ahuti. So this metaphor is also used in the Mahabharata. At one place, the Kauravas are going to be Ahuti in the Yajnasthali of Kurukshetra. So here, Krishna is demonstrating that actually what you will offer, I will accept. And every single thing I will accept. So, for example, in the normal fire sacrifice, the fire is considered to be the mouth of Vishnu. So, Krishna has told Arjuna that the principle of fire sacrifice is not limited only to physical fires. It's a principle of sacrifice, and it can include all activities. So, we discussed in the fourth chapter how from 25 to verse 30, to verse 29 actually, how there can be different kinds of yajnas. And then 30, 31, 32, 33 talked about the principle underlying yajnas. So, Arjuna is being revealed over here that okay, if you perform this yajna at the battlefield of Kurukshetra in which you offer the ahuti of the Kauravas, then I will accept that ahuti. So that is what is demonstrated, that when the ahuti is offered, even the ghee is offered into the fire. So at that time all the ghee should go into the fire, the ghee should not be spilled here and there, because it's meant for the offering to the Agni and to Vishnu through that medium of fire. So like that, whatever is being offered, the Virat Rupa is accepting that is described. Tejo Bhirapurya Jagat Samagram Tejo Bhirapurya. So, Tejo, by the Tejo of you, Jagat Samagram, the whole universe, what is happening? It's blazing. The effulgence is spreading, pervading all of the universe, and Bhasastavogra Pratapandi Vishnu Bhasastavogra, by the Ugra Bhasa, Ugra effulgence of your form, the whole universe is now troubled, is disturbed. And then when he is seeing this, he now asks the question, who is the person? Who are you, my dear Lord? Akhya himeko bhavanugra rupo namostu te deva vara prasida vijnatum icchami bhavantam adyam nahi prajanami tava pravrittim. Akhya hi, I am asking, Bhavan Ugra Rupa, Ugra Rupa, oh, fearsome form, who are you? So now it's interesting, previous verse only he said you are Vishnu, but he's asking who are you? Yes, you are Vishnu, but this kind of form of Vishnu I never seen, therefore who are you? What is this Ugra Rupa? Akhya himeko Bhavan Ugra Rupa. So we see the relationship changes. So sometimes relationship has changed. Now, even when Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, he used the word Tvam. Tvam means you, and Bhavan is a more respectful second person address. So for example, in Hindi, Tvam would be tu and Bhavan would be aap. It's more respectful. So normally there is no such difference in English. So all second persons are referred to by you, but the respectful second person is used when we know the other person is worthy of our respect. For example, sometimes who are you? And then suddenly we hear, oh, maybe that is some senior devotee speaking, some spiritual, or maybe a spiritual master speaking. So that tu becomes aap. Suddenly the whole mode changes. So like that, till now the conversation was Tvam, but now Bhavan, Bhavan. उग्र रूप हु आर यू आख्या ही कोई को भवान उग्र रूपो नमोस्तुते देव वर प्रसीद आई ऑफर माय ओबेसेंसेस टू यू प्रसीद द वर्ड प्रसीद इज बीन यू सेकंड टाइम नाउ प्रसीद प्रसीद आई एम प्लीज बी टू विज्ञातुम इच्छामि भवन्तम आद्यम आई वांट टू नो विज्ञातुम आई आस्किंग यू भवन्तम अगेन सेकंड रिस्पेक्टफुल रेफरेंस भवन्तम आद्यम नहि प्रजानामि तव प्रवृत्तिम What is your pravritti? What is your intention? So who are you and what is your intention? So with this inquiry, Arjuna becomes silent. And what is Krishna's response? Thereafter, we'll discuss in the next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.